Thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants will be in a listen-only mode for the duration of the call. During the question and answer session, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. I would now like to turn the call over to Vipin Chaudhary. You may begin.
Good afternoon. We are Vipin Chaudhary, Amy Walton, and Rajiv Ramnath from the NSF Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC. We are the program directors managing the Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation Program, or CSSI. In this webcast, we will provide a brief overview of the CSSI program and describe some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. Joining us to welcome you is Amy Friedlander, Deputy Director of the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure at NSF.
Thank you. Good afternoon. On behalf of the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, the Directorate for Computer and Information Sciences and Engineering, and the National Science Foundation, let me welcome you to this webinar. The program that will be described is an important step for us as we begin to develop a vision of integrated cyber infrastructure. The solicitation represents the hard work of program directors across the foundations, so let me pause and thank them all. The solicitation is only the next step. Now we want to hear from you. Today, you will ask your questions, but soon, we hope you will respond with your proposals and ideas. In those responses, we and you will learn more about what we mean by integrated cyber infrastructure, at least as it relates to data and software, what we should do next, and how we should move forward toward building an advanced cyber infrastructure in support of science. Thank you all in advance for your time and attendance. Now let me turn this back over to the organizers.
Thank you, Amy. This webinar is intended to orient the research community to the CSSI competition, summarize the program and peer review criteria, and answer questions. Of course, the ultimate goal is to improve the quality of your proposals. Here's an outline of today's presentation. We will start with a description of the CSSI program, followed by an overview of the NSF 18531 solicitation. We will then take questions from you, the audience. Some of the questions we have already received are included at the end of the presentation. This document will be available on the program website. Next, we talk about the CSSI program, its priorities and goals, and how we implement them. The CSSI program focuses on supporting robust, reliable, and sustainable data and software cyber infrastructure that will support and advance sustained scientific innovation and discovery. Thus, proposals are strongly encouraged to describe their approach to data management and quality software development through a defined software engineering process that includes software testing, the appropriate use of analysis tools, and capabilities. The CSSI program integrates the data and software elements of advanced cyber infrastructure. By integrating two major and long-running NSF program solicitations, Data Infrastructure Building Blocks, or DIBBs, and Software Infrastructure for Sustained Innovation, or SI2, under a single umbrella called Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation, or CSSI, NSF seeks to enable funding opportunities that are flexible and responsive to the evolving and emerging needs in integrated data and software cyber infrastructure. This integration also minimizes multiple and overlapping submissions while encouraging integrated science-driven cyber infrastructure. The CSSI program is guided by six principles. The project must explicitly address these principles, which translate into solicitation-specific criteria. The project must be science-driven, promoting science excellence, enabling fundamentally new scientific advances, and benefiting science and engineering communities beyond the participating communities. The project must be innovative, emphasizing unique NSF contributions, building the capability, capacity, and cohesiveness of a national CI ecosystem and considered both the human and technological aspects of the CI. The project must be collaborative, fostering partnerships and community development, actively engages CI experts, specialists, and scientists working in concert with domain scientists who are users of CI. The project must be leveraged, building on existing recognized capabilities. The project must be strategic, with management plans and metrics that encourage measurement of progress and sharing of results. The project must be sustained, providing benefits beyond the participants and the lifetime of the award, and resulting in widely accessible long-term community cyber infrastructure. Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation is a cross-cutting program that involves program officers from every NSF directorate. Participating divisions and program officers are listed here, and several of our colleagues are attending today's webinar. The participant list can also be viewed on the solicitation webpage given here. The CSSI solicitation is responsive to national and NSF-wide objectives, as well as priorities in specific science areas. This slide identifies a national initiative and an NSF initiative that are of interest to the solicitation. The next several slides summarize areas of interest within the foundation. This CSSI solicitation welcomes proposals that advance the objectives of the National Strategic Computing Initiative, or NSCI, an effort aimed at sustaining and enhancing the U.S. scientific, technological, and economic leadership position in high-performance computing, or HPC research, development, and deployment. Information about the NSCI, together with the strategic plans, results of community workshops, background studies, and other relevant resources which suggest priority areas in both the domain sciences and the HPC and software infrastructure are available at www.nsf.gov/NSCI. This CSSI solicitation also welcomes proposals that advance the objectives of harnessing the data revolution, one of NSF's big ideas. This initiative is aimed at fundamental data science research, research data cyber infrastructure, and the development of a 21st century data-capable workforce. HDR will enable new modes of data-driven discovery, allowing researchers to ask and answer new questions in frontier science and engineering, generating new knowledge and understanding, and accelerate discovery and innovation. Proposers are encouraged to review these materials for priority areas identified by the research community. Within NSF, various organizations have additional specific information about their participation in this program. The Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure manages the CSSI program and is especially interested in proposals that enable new science and engineering not previously possible, contain innovation as an integral component of the project. Such research might encompass reproducibility, provenance, effectiveness, usability, and product adoption, adaptability to new technologies and to changing requirements, and the data and software development lifecycle processes used in the project. Build on existing community CI services and software, and leverage or complement other community cyber infrastructure projects, and to seek to develop, deploy, and sustain foundational infrastructure components and interdisciplinary and omnidisciplinary computational tools and components. The Directorate for Biological Sciences is primarily interested in the CSSI program as a means to collaborate with other NSF directorates to support proposals that impact a multidisciplinary community that includes bio-supported researchers. PI is wishing to submit projects that focus primarily on biological sciences should submit to the Advances in Biological Informatics Program, ABI, or you can see NSF 15-582. The foundational research division within the Directorate for Computer and Innovation, Information Science and Engineering, SAIS, Computing and Communication Foundation, CCF, Computer and Network Systems, CNS, and Information and Intelligence Systems, IIS, are interested in software or data engineering and infrastructure projects that support research in all areas that sustain progress in SAIS research areas or that advance and adapt SAIS research to impact the data and software sustainability needs of other scientific disciplines. Please see the division level descriptions in the solicitation for complete details. The Directorate for Education and Human Resources is interested in fostering novel, transformative, multidisciplinary approaches that address the use of large data sets and or learning analytics to create actionable knowledge for improving STEM teaching and learning environments, both formal and informal, in the medium term, and to revolutionize learning in the longer term. The Directorate of Engineering seeks proposals for innovative software and data infrastructure that enable major advances in fundamental research funded by the division. Engineering will support proposals that give the engineering research community broad and sustained access to HPC and data and software platforms and technologies that support emerging research opportunities. The goal is to broaden the use of advanced computing and data by engineering research community to enhance research productivity and open new pathways to discovery. Please see the division level descriptions in the solicitation for complete details. The Directorate for Geosciences is interested in the following research fields: atmospheric and geospace science, earth science, ocean science, and polar science. The Directorate welcomes proposals that focus on the development and implementation of automated, executable, and optimized workflows that are capable of real and near real-time archiving and manipulation of sensor and other field-based data, including experimental and/or simulation data. Promote seamless discovery, access, and transfer of data and metadata across data resources and centers that are supported by GEO. Leverage through sharing of existing investments in university, federal, and commercial computing and infrastructure. Engage community models for the assimilation and use of data for initialization, state estimation, or sensitivity analysis, and encourage the development or reuse of computational techniques, that is high-performance distributed computing, machine learning, cloud computing, etc., without which simulations would be difficult to conduct or large volumes of data could not be manipulated, analyzed, and transferred. The proposed computational techniques must be framed as subtasks within the proposed workflow. Please see the division-level descriptions in the solicitation for complete details. The Directorate for Mathematical and Physical Sciences appreciates that software and data cyber infrastructure enable scientific advances and discovery across MPS. In all of MPS disciplines, there is need for cyber infrastructure to support innovative scientific inquiry based on software and data that are findable, accessible, reusable, provenance traceable, and sustainably maintainable. Data cyber infrastructure may additionally combine the elements of algorithms, software, computation, networks, task automation, or custom hardware to support data-centric approaches to MPS science. Data may be derived from experiment, observation, or computation, and may be diverse in kind, consistent with science across MPS. Please see the division-level descriptions in the solicitation for complete details. The Directorate for Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences is interested in proposals that support the Directorate's research priorities, such as those outlined in SPE 2020. The website is www.nsf.gov/SBE/SBE_2020. SBE is particularly interested in using CSSI to support projects building on other infrastructure activities, such as metadata for long-standing, large-scale social science surveys, META-SSS. And the website given there, and resource implementations for data science research in the social, behavioral, and economic sciences, or RIDER, as the website there. SBE also welcomes innovative approaches to big data problems in SBE-focused domains consistent with NSF's big idea of harnessing the data revolution. SBE encourages proposals that further the goals of SBE and at least one other participating NSF directorate. Next, we talk about this specific solicitation opportunity, the NSF 18-531, including classes of investments, PI eligibility, and review criteria.
Thank you very much, Vipin. So on the next slide, we start talking about the CSSI solicitation, which includes four different classes of investments. Only the first two investment classes are included in solicitation NSF 18531. The other classes will not be covered in this webinar. First is the elements. This class of investment targets small groups that will create and deploy robust capabilities for which there is a demonstrated need that will advance one or more significant areas of science and engineering. The next class of investment is the framework implementations that targets larger interdisciplinary teams organized around the development and application of common infrastructure aimed at solving common research problems faced by NSF researchers in one or more areas of science and engineering, resulting in a sustainable community framework serving a diverse community or communities. The third class of investment is the planning grants for community cyber infrastructure, where the focus is on the establishment of long-term capabilities in cyber infrastructure, which would serve a research community of substantial size and disciplinary breadth. Finally, the fourth class of investment is the community cyber infrastructure implementations that focuses on the establishment of long-term hubs of excellence in cyber infrastructure and technologies, which will serve a research community of substantial size and disciplinary breadth. For the current solicitation, NSF 18531, the proposers are asked to identify whether their proposal is an elements or framework proposal in the proposal title. Proposers are asked to identify whether the proposal is a data proposal or a software proposal within that title based on whether the proposed cyber infrastructure will primarily support data-driven research or software-driven research. Thus, there are four classes of proposals and investments for this solicitation. However, OAC recognizes that the proposal submissions will span a continuum of cyber infrastructure possibilities, and therefore researchers with questions as to how their proposal should be classified should not hesitate to contact the Cognizant program officers listed in this solicitation. For proposers who are familiar with the DIBS and SI2 programs, where DIBS, again, is the Data Infrastructure Building Blocks program, and SI2 is the Sustained Innovation for Software Infrastructure for Sustained Innovation. This slide shows the relationship between CSSI and DIBS and SI2. This information is only for familiarity and adds no other value. The DIBS pilot demonstrations are now CSSI data elements. The SI2 SSE are now CSSI software elements. The DIBS early implementations are now CSSI data frameworks, and the SI2 SSI are now CSSI software frameworks. The SI2 software conceptualizations are now CSSI planning grants for community software cyber infrastructure, and the SI2 software innovation institutes are now CSSI community software cyber infrastructure implementations. The planning grants for community data cyber infrastructure and the community data cyber infrastructure implementations were not a part of DIBS. Please note that this solicitation, NSF 18531, is only targeted at the Elements and Framework Implementations Investment Class, and we will only address details and questions regarding these in this webinar. Okay. Budget by Investment Class is the next slide. The Data and Software Elements Awards will not exceed a total of $600,000 and 3 years duration. Framework Implementation Awards shall range from $200,000 to $1 million per year and shall be 3 to 5 years in duration. Projects in the upper portion of this range must be exceptional in terms of scientific impact, and as with all proposals, should be discussed with program officers from the divisions that fund the researchers that would be impacted. Proposed funding amounts should be commensurate with the work being proposed and the size of the community that will be affected and the level of impact anticipated. The next slide shows anticipated number of awards and anticipated amount of funding. Up to 15 element awards and 13 framework implementation awards are anticipated, subject to the availability of funds. With an anticipated total funding of $34 million, up to $9 million are expected to be available for elements awards, and up to $25 million are expected to be available for framework implementation awards, again, subject to the availability of funds. The next slide shows schedule. All proposals to this solicitation, namely the data and software elements and the data and software framework implementations, have the same deadline, April 18th of 2018. We expect the review process to last from May to July of this year and anticipate making announcements of awards in the fall of this year. The next slide starts to discuss eligibility criteria for the CSSI program. They are as follows. Proposals may only be submitted by universities and colleges or nonprofit, non-academic organizations. Federally funded research and development centers may not receive funds directly from NSF under the solicitation. The number of proposals per principal investigator, co-principal investigator, or senior personnel is limited to one. An individual may participate in a proposal as principal investigator, co-principal investigator, or other senior personnel in at most one proposal in a given calendar year across all categories of proposals. In the event that any individual exceeds this limit, any proposal submitted to this solicitation with this individual listed as PI, COI, or senior personnel after the first proposal is received at NSF will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. Please review the solicitation for these important details. The next slide talks about some of the important aspects of the CSSI cover sheet. For the NSF unit of consideration, the divisions section should automatically be selected. Select one class from the drop-down list in Fastlane as the program or programs to consider the proposal. For example, data elements or data frameworks proposals should choose DataNet as the program. Software elements or software frameworks should choose Software Institutes as the program. Grants.gov users should refer to section 612 of the NSF Grants.gov application guide for specific instructions on how to designate the NSF units of consideration. For the proposal title, provide a short, informative title for the proposal project. To assist NSF staff in sorting proposals for review, proposal titles should begin with either elements or framework, followed by data or software, and then proposals that are to be considered as responsive to the NSCI should additionally prefix their title with NSCI. Proposals that are to be considered as responsive to HDR, or the Harnessing the Data Revolution, should additionally prefix their title with HDR. An example title would be element, colon, data, colon, HDR, colon, followed by the project title. A second example would be element, colon, software, and then colon, my project title, indicating that HDR or NSCI are not required prefixes and will be used only if the proposals address priorities related to HDR or NSCI. A third example would be frameworks, colon software, colon NSCI, and again, my project title. The next slide begins to talk about additional supplementary documents. These additional documents include a data management plan and postdoctoral trainee mentoring plan if the project includes such trainees. This is a standard NSF requirement. CSSI reviewers will pay close attention to the data management plan. For framework implementation proposals, a management and coordination plan is also required. The specific roles of the principal investigators, co-principal investigators, other senior personnel, and paid consultants at all institutions involved must be outlined. Also, there must be a description of how the project will be managed across institutions and disciplines, identification of the specific coordination mechanisms that will enable cross-institution and/or cross-discipline scientific integration, and pointers to the budget line items that support these management and coordination mechanisms. Letters of collaboration, if any, should include documentation of funded or unfunded collaborative arrangements of significance to the proposal. Letters of collaboration should be limited to stating that the intent to collaborate and should not contain endorsements or evaluation of the proposed project. The required format for letters of collaboration is in the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, which we use the acronym PAPPG for. Okay. Other supplementary documents include project personnel and partner institutions. These are required for all award categories. You must provide current, accurate information for all personnel and institutions involved in the project. NSF staff will use this information in the merit review process to manage conflicts of interest. The list must include all PIs, COIs, senior personnel, paid and unpaid consultants or collaborators, sub-awardees, postdocs, project-level advisory committee members, and writers of letters of support. See the details in the solicitation. The next view graph talks about supplementary single copy documents. Additional single copy documents include the collaborators and other affiliations information. Collaborators and other affiliations information specified in the PAPPG or proposal guide should be submitted using the spreadsheet template found at the website https://www.nsf.gov/CISE/collab/. For each proposal, a completed spreadsheet for each PI, co-PI, or senior personnel must be uploaded directly into Fastlane in XLS or XLSX format as a collaborator and other affiliations single copy document. NSF staff use this information in the merit review process to help manage reviewer selection. The spreadsheet will ensure that the collaborator and other affiliations information has a common searchable format. Please note that the distinction of this information from the previous slide about additional documents is that the listing of all project participants is collected by the project lead and entered into a supplementary document, which is then automatically included with all proposals in a project. The collaborators and other affiliations, this document is entered for each participant with each proposal and as a single copy document is available only to NSF staff. See the details in this solicitation. The next slide begins to talk about NSF review criteria. As for all proposals received by NSF, CSSI reviewers and panelists will be asked to consider the intellectual merit and broader impacts for each proposal for their reviews, panel discussions, and panel summaries. In addition to these standard criteria, the reviewers and panelists will also be asked to consider additional review criteria that are unique to the CSSI program. More on this in a few moments. So on the next slide, we talk about the standard NSF review criteria. When evaluating NSF proposals, reviewers are asked to consider five topics: what the proposers want to do, why they want to do it, how they plan to do it, how they will know if they succeed, and what benefits would accrue to the project if successful. These issues apply both to the technical aspects of the proposal, intellectual merit, and to the way in which the project may make broader contributions, the broader impacts. Okay, next slide. In addition to the standard NSF review criteria, The proposals will be evaluated on CSSI-specific review criteria. The first one is, to what extent is the proposed project science-driven? How will the project outcomes fill well-recognized science and engineering needs of the research community and advance research capability within a significant area or areas of science and engineering? What will be the broader impacts of the project, such as its benefits to science and engineering communities beyond the initial targets, underrepresented communities, education, and workforce development? The project description should provide a compelling discussion of the potential to benefit its intended as well as broader communities. The second CSSI-specific review criterion is, to what extent is the proposed project innovative? What innovative and transformational capabilities will the project bring to its target communities? How will the project integrate innovation and discovery into the project activities, such as through empirical research embedded in an integral component of the project activities? Such research might encompass reproducibility, governance, effectiveness, usability, and adoption of the components, its adaptability to new technologies and to changing requirements, and the development lifecycle processes to be used in the project. The third specific criterion is, to what extent does the proposed project involve close collaboration among stakeholders? How will the project activities engage cyber infrastructure experts, specialists, and scientists working in concert with the relevant domain scientists who are users of the cyber infrastructure? The fourth specific criterion is, to what extent does the proposed project build on existing recognized capabilities? How will the project activities build on and leverage existing NSF and national cyber infrastructure investments as appropriate? The fifth criterion, how well described are the project plans and system and process architecture? The project description should include high-quality management plans. The project plan should include user interactions and a community-driven approach and provide a timeline including a proof-of-concept demonstration of the key components. The proposal must include a list of tangible metrics to be used to measure the success of the project activities and measure progress along the way. If the output of the project is software or data cyber infrastructure, the architecture of the cyber infrastructure and the engineering process to be used for the design, development, documentation, testing, validation, and release of the software, its deployment and associated outreach to the end user community, and an acceptance and evaluation plan that involves end users, all must be sufficiently described. The description of the CI architecture and processes should explain how security, trustworthiness, provenance, reproducibility, and usability will be addressed by the project and integrated into the proposed system and the engineering process, and how adaptability to new technologies and changing requirements will be addressed by the project and built into the proposed system as appropriate. And finally, how well does the project address the achievement of sustained and sustainable impacts? The project description should address how the project outcomes and its activities will have long-term impacts and how these will be sustained beyond the lifetime of the award as appropriate. If the outcome of the project is software or data is cyber infrastructure, the proposal should identify what license will be used for the released cyber infrastructure and why this license has been chosen. PIs who have been previously funded under previous cyber infrastructure awards should show quantifiable evidence of the use, impact, and sustainability of the previously funded work, and include a citation to the published cyber infrastructure in their biographical sketches as one of their relevant products, if appropriate. So a competitive CSSI proposal will identify science and engineering challenges where the proposed cyber infrastructure enables fundamental new science advances and describe how the proposed project fosters partnerships and community development that will have a significant impact on science and engineering research. The proposal will indicate how the proposed cyber infrastructure builds capability, capacity, and cohesiveness of a national cyber infrastructure ecosystem. And it will provide a compelling discussion of the cyber infrastructure's potential use by a wider audience and its contribution to a national cyber infrastructure. So we have now completed the formal portion of the presentation. Now, before we open the telephone lines to questions from the audience, we would like to address a few of the questions we have already received. One of the key questions and a major change from prior solicitations concerns the limits on the number of proposals an individual may participate in under this solicitation, NSF 18-531. An individual may participate as a PI, a COI, or other senior personnel on at most one proposal across the elements and framework implementations for the solicitation. Thus, if an individual participates on an elements proposal, he or she may not participate on a framework implementations proposal and vice versa. Note that any individual whose biographical sketch is provided as part of the proposal will be considered senior personnel in the proposed activity with or without financial support from the project. In the event that any individual exceeds this limit, any proposal submitted to this solicitation with this individual listed as PI or co-PI or senior personnel after the first proposal is received at NSF will be returned without review, and no exceptions will be made. Another question regards the schedule. Proposals must be received by 5 p.m. submitter's local time on the established deadline date. Failure to submit by 5 p.m. submitter's local time will result in the proposal not being accepted. Next, OAC recognizes that software and data infrastructure constitute fundamental infrastructure that cross-cuts academic, government, civic, and commercial organizations. The program encourages proposals to explore novel partnerships beyond academia wherever beneficial and permissible within the guidelines of the NSF proposal guide. Another question we get is what types of organizational units are allowed to submit? Again, universities and colleges, universities and two-year and four-year colleges, including community colleges, accredited in and having a campus located in the United States, acting on behalf of their faculty members. Such organizations are also referred to as academic institutions. Another type is nonprofit, non-academic organizations, independent museums, observatories, research labs, professional societies, and similar organizations in the U.S. associated with educational or research activities. The next category is NSF-sponsored federally funded research and development centers, provided they are not including costs for which federal funds have already been awarded or expected to be awarded. The next question is, how can other organizations participate? Organizations eligible to serve as subawardees are all organizations eligible under the guidelines of the NSF proposal guide. There are a couple more questions about collaborations. First, how can a proposal integrate industry collaborations into the project? There's a number of possibilities. The industry participants may be included as a subaward within the proposal. The industry investigators may also serve as co-PIs or senior personnel on a proposal. More information is in the proposal guide, part one, section E3. In another opportunity is that industry participants may be unfunded collaborators. Finally, industry participation should be integrated through the management plan. And the next question was, can a foreign organization submit a proposal? NSF rarely provides support to foreign organizations. However, NSF will consider proposals for cooperative projects involving U.S. and foreign organizations, provided support is requested only for the U.S. portion of the collaborative effort. The next three questions address the differences between this and other solicitations. So first, what is the difference between a data and a software proposal submission to this solicitation? The data proposal, either a data element or a data framework proposal, has data attributes as the core enabler for the success of the project. The software proposal, or a software proposal, either a software element or a software framework proposal, has software attributes as the core enabler for the success of the project. Now, there are obviously areas of overlap, and proposers are encouraged to clearly identify where they expect to make their major contribution. Second, how do CSSI proposals differ from computational and data-enabled science and engineering, or CDS&E proposals? CDS&E emphasizes research in, rather than the development of, cyber infrastructure systems. CSSI includes a broader range of directorates but focuses upon development of data and software systems that support research. And finally, how are data proposals to CSSI different from big data proposals? Data proposals to CSSI focus upon innovative, use-inspired, user-tested infrastructure that contributes to future discovery across communities. Big data focuses on research challenges in the foundations of data science and development of innovative applications. Finally, on behalf of the National Science Foundation and the CSSI team, we would like to thank you for participating in this webinar. The slides and the script for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available at the website noted on the slide, http://www.nsf.gov/events/. On that page, you'll need to look for this webcast among the list of events. I invite your questions now via email or via telephone to Vipin, me, or Rajiv Ramna. You can also find contact details for the program officers, many of whom are in the room today, from other NSF directorates who are involved in the program on the solicitation webpage. So thank you, and we're ready to take questions.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone, unmute your line, and record your first and last name clearly when prompted. One moment as we wait for the first question. Our first question comes from Amit Chaurasia. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you very much for the informative webinar. I have a question regarding including advisory committee. And what would be the mechanism of including such a committee for a proposal? Since a biographical sketch would be considered a senior proposal, is there a way to include that or just not include the biographical sketch?
Okay, so for the advisory committee, I think you need to distinguish whether that person is truly on an advisory role or a co-PI or senior personnel. I think that can be provided in the text of the proposal, but you should not include a complete CV in the proposal. So the next question online is, how do you expect the 15 elements awards to be distributed across the various disciplines? Well, you want to take that? Or
we basically will have our collaborating directorates, collaborating disciplines, participate in the panels as well, and then as one always allocates scarce resources, that we will do our best to trade off between interesting and innovative proposals and the breadth of application across the disciplines. And
okay, the next question. Can you provide further examples of the differences between data and software types of projects? Okay, an example of a very purely data-oriented project would be where you are trying to create data repositories in a certain domain, and you're using some standard data management software. On the other extreme, a totally software project would be one. For example, you're doing Monte Carlo simulations for a certain domain where the amount of data that is used is much less, and the major impact of the proposal is really the software that you develop.
It's a great question, and we completely agree that data and software run across the continuum of cyber infrastructure. In fact, in the past, the data program, DIPS, and the software program, SI2, would often have a substantial quantity of overlap among the proposals that came into each organization, that the data program would receive a large number of tool developments, and obviously the software program had a lot of things that we're trying to wrestle with data issues. So the reason for this integration is that while there's potentially overlap, we are looking at having you answer the question, what is the area of greatest contribution that your proposal is focused upon?
But there was another question there.
Did you have a question?
For the folks online, we're reading the questions that are coming up online. That's why we're looking at this movie screen that you can't quite see. Does the program support projects based on data mainly generated and managed by other federal agencies such as NOAA? The science community uses a wide variety of databases, but if it's mostly NOAA or NOAA-specific or another agency or agency-specific information to answer the kinds of questions that you would expect of those organizations, the question I would have is, why isn't it being submitted to those agencies?
Okay. So the next question is, will more partners, PIs or co-PIs, help the successful funding of a proposal? Okay, so I think you want to make sure you have the appropriate expertise of the PIs and co-PIs that is required to successfully complete the proposal rather than just account or adding on to PIs.
More does not equal better answering the key scientific questions effectively is better.
Okay, the next question is, are we allowed to leverage cloud technologies as part of the overall project? Absolutely, if it makes sense. There's no reason to not use cloud technology if that is something that is required to accomplish the goals of the project.
Okay. Does
the software need to be a complete package or components that could be reused as point solutions to problems? Okay, so the software elements projects could be components that could be reused as part of a bigger solution, but they should still try and solve a problem fairly independently. The frameworks are the ones where you want to have bigger packages which completely solve a certain problem in a domain. And these could be many components that you might want to build or reuse certain components from the community to build a solution. So the answer really is it depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
One of the other questions is, how many directorates would a competitive proposal leverage? I think it's another version of the more is not necessarily better, we certainly are looking for things that could be of use to a wide scientific and engineering community, but we also are interested in things that will answer some of the most challenging questions that those communities have. So it isn't like you would need to rack up a large number of directorate badges on your proposal, so much as are you clearly and effectively answering some key questions for those communities?
So asking the operator if there are any calls with questions.
Our next question comes from Sean Smith. Sean, your line is now open.
Okay, thank you. This is Sean Smith. I actually just typed this into the question thing because I wondered if I'd ever be on. I noted in the RFP that the Geosciences Directorate notes that Ocean Sciences, OCE, is interested in CSSI, but I don't see a cognizant program manager for OCE. Is there one? And if there isn't, does that mean that OCE is not actually supporting or funding part of this project or this solicitation?
Sean, what I would do is we have two contacts within the Geosciences Directorate in the listing. And if you would, I think they can help you there. Okay?
All right. Yeah, I'll talk to one of them. I just didn't see an OCE person. That's why I was curious.
Okay. Understood. Great question, and that's an important question to get answered before you spend a lot of time writing a proposal. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Lucy Fortson. Lucy, your line is now open.
Oh, hi, yes. I had actually two questions. One is, how are multidisciplinary projects best handled if there is no one specific domain that the software would serve?
Okay. So your question is asking if I have two or more domains, how is the proposal going to be handled?
Right. Well, what I'm asking is, so there's questions about which program officers we should contact, et cetera. But if we are truly multidisciplinary, who is the best program officer to contact if we have further questions, or in addition to how is it treated within the National Science Foundation in terms of the funding process? So do you work with multiple divisions to obtain funds for this, or so is it better for us to have one specific discipline to work through, or is it okay for us to have multiple disciplines?
So I think it depends really on what you're trying to propose. If it is just one discipline, then definitely the program director in that division is going to influence, you know, what their priorities are and so on. If there are two divisions, I would think, again, you would want to talk to both those divisions. If it is a proposal which addresses absolutely every discipline, for example, if you had new numerical libraries, which might apply to almost any discipline, then the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure actually will handle that project.
Okay, all right.
But we do get input from all the relevant program directors.
Okay, so we should contact OCA first then. Okay.
OCA, yeah.
And that was both of your questions,
No, actually, thank you. The second question I had was, could you give us a little bit more detail on the criteria for sustainability?
So the short answer is you are developing new capabilities that we are assuming the community will be able to use beyond the lifetime of this award. So whether it's best practices, whether it's new tools and techniques in the software or framework communities, whether it's new ways of dealing with data, where is that knowledge stored? How is it made available to the community? This is the kinds of things we're looking for. Don't vanish once the award funds do. And so how does it get into, whether it's a particular community, how does it wind up being part of their repositories or community resources or facilities? How is it accessible to them? How do they, where is it? What are your plans for making, in a sense, if you have a, if that's a needed capability beyond the time of this award, are you looking at business models that make it available beyond that time frame? And there's getting to be a growing list of those kinds of possibilities out there. So,
So I think the proposal should address, after your proposal is completed, how this software or data or the technologies that you develop are going to be sustained. We expect you to come up with models. For example, in open source type of community software that is developed, the community gets engaged and they keep continuing to develop even though there's no funding for it, because the software that you have developed or the technology you have developed is very useful to that community. It could even be pay for use if the software or the technology or the data that you've developed is useful to the community, they would be willing to pay for it. So you really need to articulate how this project is going to continue after your funding has been completed. So coming back to NSF for funding again, just to sustain that project, is not the right answer.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Lucy?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Danielle Mazzio. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you so much. We actually got our questions answered through the chat.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Michael Norman. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. I'm familiar with the NSCI strategic priority and the documents thereof. My question is there an analogous set of documents describing the objectives and goals of the harnessing the data revolution a priority? I'm aware of the big ideas document, but is there more available on that?
Great question, Mike, and I believe that there is a web page that is in process to make sure that it's a sort of a single site for making sure that you have all those variety of list of workshops that have been done and things that have been done through the harnessing the data revolution development. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Zlatan Akshamia. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Hi, this is Zlatan Akshamia, University of Massachusetts. And my question is, for the software elements, when the software is released, are there any specific expectations on how that software will be released, shared, maintained, and documented?
Okay. So there are the various priorities for the CSSI proposals that we talked about, including sustainability, leveraging other resources, involving the community, and so on. So that is up to the proposer to indicate what kind of license, what kind of mechanisms they are going to use. We don't mandate a particular process to be followed, but it should try to fulfill those criteria.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone, unmute your line, and record your first and last name clearly when prompted. Our next question comes from Haiying Shen. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you for the wonderful webinar. My question is it okay if the proposal only focuses on one discipline? For example, we design an infrastructure to facilitate the data processing efficiency only in the astronomy discipline.
Yes, that should be fine, but you should talk to the program director in that domain. So that science problem that you're trying to solve for astronomy should be of interest to that division.
And also in your proposal, you should be thinking about whatever that basic problem is, whether it's handling large amounts of data or combining different data sets or whatever it is, does it have potential applicability beyond that one discipline? Because if not, you probably should be sending that proposal to that specific discipline.
I see. May I ask the division? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with astronomy.
So that's AST?
AST, okay. Thank you.
Within MPS.
You're welcome, Dr. Shen. Other questions?
No. I'm good. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
There are no other questions in queue at this time.
Okay, and we have three more that have come up on the feed, two or three. Let's see. We're doing this in real time, folks, so bear with us. Okay. Here we go. If one participates in this solicitation, which is NSF 18-531, can one participate in the future CSSI solicitation for planning grants for community CI or community CI implementations? Yes. Did you say earlier we had to wait 1 year to submit CSSI again? Yes. Okay. Okay. Can you better explain the difference between an element and a framework proposal? At what point in terms of scale and scope is an element proposal, does it turn into a framework proposal? That's a good question. Again, the element proposals tend to be situations where you're trying a new tool, a new technique. Oftentimes they have one community that they're working most closely with, but they're able to articulate that this can solve that problem, whatever it is, whether it's data security or access or interoperability or those kinds of things. But it tends to be, as you can see from the funding levels, a smaller prototype, experiment, pilot of a possibility. When you get to framework proposals, it's you truly are developing something that has a very high probability of being of great interest to and continuing use to at least one and oftentimes several research communities.
So one of the other ways that we've tried to address this is, for example, if you have done some research, written a paper, gone to a conference, and you find a lot of your colleagues want a copy of the software that you used for that research, and you get a lot of interest from people in that community that they would like for this software to be available. Now, just giving the software probably in the research form may not be very usable. So the elements would be a way to take that research that you have done and create a very robust piece of software system, which you can then, give to the community. So the goal really there is it's a smaller scale, and the community need not be very large. It need not be thousands of people. However, when you go to a frameworks type of project, your software, and you should have demonstrable usage of that software by the community, and you really want to take it to the next scale where you can grow the community either in size within that same discipline, or you might move from or add another discipline as part of the community, and it becomes a very, very big and robust software. So that is where the frameworks would also come in.
Vipin and Amy, can I add something?
Yeah, and that's Rajiv.
So yet another way to look at it is, take a look at the community or communities that you're targeting your software to. If you're adding a niche capability, if you're adding, one or two pieces of functionality of capability to the experimental process of this community, then you should consider that a element. However, when you look at the experimental work of the communities that you're targeting it towards, and you see that you're meeting some kind of end-to-end, you're providing some set of end-to-end capabilities, that really would fit towards the framework. If you are doing the latter, if you're providing, you know, a sort of a broad capability or a collection of capabilities that meet an end-to-end need, even if your effort that you're putting in to develop this is small, you should really target this. You should really propose this as a framework rather than as an element.
And I see two more questions that have come up over the lines to respond to. One of them is, in the budget, should we factor in dissemination efforts, or is that something the NSF will do? And a key part of this project is to make sure what you are developing is of use to the community. And so dissemination efforts, the answer is yes, that it needs to be clearly involving a wide variety of key members of the other community, and again, to getting your capability used by a wide variety of individuals. So dissemination should be part of this, but realize that it's not just a unidirectional, I build it and then I try and see who will buy it. You should have the community involved helping you to decide what this capability looks like. So thank you for that question. That's a good one, and I'm going up a little higher, so now there's a third question here. Let's see. One person had asked, will our proposal need to identify or target a specific directorate, and should we? You need to be tied in with at least one organization's key questions. Often those are scientific or engineering questions. And if you find, and this is, goes back to a question that was asked earlier, if those questions could be asked or in a number of directorates, then come to OAC, the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, that's Vipin and myself and Rajiv, who you just heard from, first, because, you need to target some portion of the NSF research community with your technique or tool or cyber infrastructure development. And then I think the other one that has come up, are data privacy and or software security of interest or concern? Yes. Okay, another question has come up. What is the best way to find out the most appropriate directorate? For example, if the proposal is on the edge between SCIES, which is the Computer Science Directorate, and MPS Physics, shall we contact the program managers in both directorates? Yes. Do we have to choose one, or is it okay to target two directorates? It is okay to target two or more directorates. Okay. Do we name the target directorate in the text? You bet. Is there a mechanism? Basically, you should be able to talk about, here's the problem, here's what's been done before, here are the science organizations that are worried about that. And there's a whole section, and that was some of the material that Vipin was covering in a half a dozen slides, that the priorities of the directorates throughout the foundation. So take a look at those summaries, and then talk to the if you have areas that you think this is especially good for, talk to those program officers.
Okay, at this point, I can check with the operator if there are any calls waiting.
There are no questions in queue at this time.
Do you want to take the next one?
Okay, would a centralized storage solution for scientific community to share and then securely store data be suitable for this solicitation? If it is more effective, efficient, faster, safer, again, you're going to have to speak to why you're using this storage solution and why you're using this secure capability. We would that's an appropriate proposal. Obviously, you're going to have to talk. There are many science areas that are highly federated, highly distributed systems. So if you're looking from your text, it had said a centralized storage system. Why are you choosing that, and why aren't you choosing the alternatives? Again, what's so good about it, and what problems can it solve?
Right, and talking to the particular directorate or division as to why they need that data. So it should solve a science problem. And so you will need to talk to the program director of that division.
Okay. Other questions?
There are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, and we think we have gone through the questions that are coming up as text to us. So we'll stay online. We had left this session go from 1 to 2:30. We have about 15 minutes left, and we'll certainly stay for the next few minutes in case any more questions come up. We certainly appreciate your taking the time to listen to us read you the solicitation. But certainly, we look forward to the ideas that you bring to us. Thank you very much.
And I also want to note that we do have several program directors from various divisions. So if you have more pointed questions to, you know, what the different divisions are looking for, and if they are here, they could potentially answer some of those.
Right. The ones that are here are computer science, engineering, and math, and basically the materials portion of MPS, math, physics, directorate. Another question has come up. Can the end product be a service on top of a specific commercial cloud provider like Amazon Web Service, or does it need to be independent from specific cloud providers? The first part, proposal can be for an end product, and certainly if you're specific enough that you know that there's at least one web service that can provide it, you can certainly put that together as a service on top of a partner organization. The question you'll have to answer is it only Amazon or is it other clouds? How do you, again, for the science community, there will be lots of data sets and tools in lots of different places. We're looking to make sure that they're accessible and interoperable as best as possible. So are you providing a service that makes it easier to reach that goal, or is this locking you into one particular service? We're checking to make sure we've answered all your questions, folks.
So the question is, will this program repeat periodically, and if so, how frequently? So this particular solicitation is for the year. We anticipate, solicitation for subsequent years, but as of this moment, I think it's only for this year. Another question is, does adaptability go up a little? Does adaptability of existing frameworks fall into elements or frameworks? Not sure I totally understand your question with just that text. Maybe you can call in and ask a little more precise question.
Right, if you hit star one. the operator will be able to give us your question.
We have questions in queue. Would you like to take those at this time?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Our first question comes from Jose Q. Your line is now open.
This is Quo with the University of Maryland. My question actually has been answered already, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. There's another online question, please.
Our next question comes from Lucy Fortson. Your line is now open.
Hi again. If you would be able to provide us with a bit more detail on what you're looking for in the project plans, system, and process architecture section of the proposal.
To be as detailed and quantifiable as you can. What kinds of capabilities are you developing? By what time? Who's doing it? Again, just sort of showing that you're well organized and as best you can, here's how that you would intend to plan the future capabilities. And then the second half of your question.
So if you can add to that. So note that the CSSI program is a little different than the core research programs. So, for example, if you were trying to develop a software, the outcome of this project would be a software that is widely used by the community, and you have created a community. So you need to have a management plan which is very specific, because you're actually building a product in that sense. And also, how are you going to engage the community? How are you going to measure that you've actually been successful in doing that? So I think it requires a little more of a management plan and detail than a typical core research program.
Does it require then, if you will, sort of full evaluative role, somebody who is actually hired on as an evaluator for the success of the project?
It is not required, but that is up to you to decide whether you want to have such a role or not. But it is not required.
Okay, but let's ask the flip side then. Is, you know, if we felt that would be the best way to present a good management plan, that we actually put money into a for example, a community manager or somebody who was able to measure engagement, that would actually be seen as a positive for the proposal.
I actually have one of my colleagues that sent me a little note here, and I think it's true, is that you will have to convince the reviewers. And so think about, if you were a reviewer, what you would need to clearly indicate that I'm organized and I am going to be able to evaluate the benefits of what I'm doing and to evaluate progress. You know, is it an outside person? Is it some metric? There's a lot of different ways that it's been done, and we've seen a wide variety of those capabilities. But again, and you've done enough research, just if you were sitting in that panel room, and we will have people from a wide variety of disciplines looking at these, how do you convince that group?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. Okay.
Our next question comes from David Hudak. Your line is now open.
Okay. David, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for a very informative webinar. I'd like to ask how the proposal evaluation might be affected by NSCI or HDR alignment. What do we have to say, and what do how heavily is that emphasized?
It's one of many things to consider. They that indeed NSCI is a national initiative, and harnessing the data revolution is something. It's one of NSF's 10 big ideas that they're looking at, that it can really provide value to the community. So take a look at the material that is on those web pages, and but again, it's one of many things. And you see those half dozen criteria that we had provided. Those are specific to this solicitation, along with the usual NSF intellectual merit and broader impacts. So I hope I answered your question.
You did. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Okay. Next question is, can you briefly talk about 2 to 3 amazing proposals that were accepted? I would recommend that you actually go to Fastlane, and you can actually do a web search of all the proposals that have been funded in the SI2 or the DIPS program previously, and that should probably give you a good sense of what they are.
And they also, in their titles, say things like that it was a pilot or a smaller one, or a framework which was a larger one, and that will give you a feel also to figure out where yours fits among those four different categories from which we're expecting to see proposals. Thank you. Okay.
Yes. A few more minutes.
That's right. Operator, any more questions on the phone?
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone, unmute your line, and record your first and last name clearly when prompted. One moment as we wait for the next question.
Thank you, operator. Well, I want to show you that I have a bunch of these wonderful little notes that I have my many marvelous colleagues around the table, but they don't want to come on camera. So I'd like to be sure and thank them for coming and spending the time here today in this telecon. And, of course, to all of you to have been here and participating in this webinar. So I think we'll do one more call around the room for questions. So, Karen, do we have any more text-based questions? And I don't think that we have – let me ask the operator, do we have any more telephone questions?
There are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay. If that's the case, then why don't I declare this to be 2:30 to thank the operator and to thank all the participants online who've been in this meeting today. Thank you very, very much. Great job, Vipin. And thank you to
thank
all
you.
Our colleagues here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Vipin.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.